welcome to On the Upbeat. I am your host, Matt Fest, and with me is RJ Phoenix. Say hi, RJ.
Hey, everybody. I'm RJ Phoenix. Welcome to me and Matt and our fancy little ska podcast. There's three things that I do. I talk to ska bands, I talk to people that run ska labels, and I talk to people that make ska documentaries. And today we have the hat trick because we have Mike from Kill Lincoln, Bad Time Records, and the This Is New Tone documentary. Welcome to the show, Mike. Welcome back.
Hey, yay. Yeah. I was trying to figure out how long it's been since I've been on, and you just told me before I jumped on.
Yeah.
It's been exactly 3 years.
Yeah, I was surprised. I went to look back, and you know what would have helped if I would have memorized the episode number to tell folks when to go back to listen to that one, but I did not. But it was basically
give your old pal RJ 5 seconds.
It was the middle.
Check the spreadsheets.
It was the middle of January of 2021. So
wow, yeah, yep,
yeah. So
dark times. No.
So I have a question, and to just begin, this is a group discussion. Everyone can have their input. What is the better ska hat? A pork pie hat or a Boston Scully cap? What is the more ska hat?
Wow.
For those maybe who aren't 100% sure, you know what a pork pie hat is. Everyone knows that. But sure. Boston Scully cap is kind of the newsy type hat.
Yeah, flat cap.
Flat cap. Yeah, that kind of thing. So what is more ska? I know this might be controversial, but...
the pork pie hat's got to be more quote-unquote ska, right?
I mean, it
just screams ska. I feel like the other hat could be... I see that everywhere, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's
true.
I want to be clear. We're talking about a pork pie hat. We're not talking about like a fedora, which was also very ska.
Right. Big distinction.
Yes. And what is the difference, RJ, between a pork pie hat and a fedora?
A pork pie hat is just kind of flat on the top. There's no fold in it. There's no divot.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I'm just making, we're totally discounting the bowler hat, right?
Yeah.
Because bowler hats are also kind of ska, but that's more of an 80s thing.
True. I do feel like pork pie definitely carried through the genre.
Yeah. I'm going to say pork pie.
It's pork pie for sure.
Yeah. I feel like as I thought about it, I feel like I see more of the Scully caps in a lot of punk. It's definitely popular in ska punk, but it's also, I guess you're right. Kind of everyone kind of wears those. It's not as common as like, I think the only time I see a pork pie hat is at a ska show.
That's true. And you know what's annoying? There used to be a German label called Pork Pie Records, but their logo was a trilby for whatever reason.
What is that? What is a?
It's another hat.
Oh, so
yeah,
Pork Pie Records. What now? Was it Pork Pie Hat Records?
It's Pork Pie Records, but then there it was a trilby. It's definitely a drawing of a trilby.
Yeah, that's counterintuitive. I don't understand.
we're getting in too deep here for me.
Yeah, I know.
This is some heavy stuff.
The name of the label is Bad Time Records, but that Skull's wearing sunglasses and looks like he's having a good time.
I know.
Clearly having a good time. Oh, the hypocrisy. It's all over.
I was wondering, do you remember seeing on TikTok, I do these like ska secret things. And one time it was a fake ska secret. And it was like, if you listen to Bad Time Records, you'll actually have a good time.
Yeah, I did see that. Yes.
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 Good. But Good Time Records doesn't sound as cool. Right?
So. No, it does not sound cool. So yes, had to be bad.
Yes, had to be bad. All right.
Sounds like a Good Time Records sounds like a fake record label from like a Nick cartoon.
Yeah, it made me think of like Good Burger. Yes. Yeah. So I'm like,
or
a little fake.
What was the record label name in Wayne's World that his girlfriend was trying to get signed to?
Yeah. See,
it's definitely sounds like a 90s
Frank Sharp from Sharp Records. Sharp. Isn't it Sharp?
Yes.
Frank Sharp. Yes. Okay. People would have killed me if I Tyler from Killing It would have killed me if I got that wrong. So.
You lived. Yay.
Yeah, I lived.
Yeah. So yes, yeah, Good Time Records definitely sounds like either a kids show record label or like a 90s fake, you know, get signed to the big label sort of mentality. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Watch out. I'll do it for April Fools one day. Just wait.
Yeah, we have plans. The show just, a release show just has to land on an April 1st. We have ideas, and we've even looked at the calendar, so.
Stay tuned for 2026, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, we can tell them now that it's going to happen, that something's going to happen. No one's going to remember.
We will finally pull it off, and we'll be like, yeah, for all four of the listeners we have by then.
Oh, all right, so enough chit-chat. Let's get into some ska news. Here we go. Rude girls and rude boys too. Grab your friends and listen to what we're telling you. I'm sorry, you might have heard, but Gavin, you're about to miss me in ska news. Yes, ska news, where we tell you about cool ska things that are happening in the ska community. All right, first up, we have a new single from the Mad Caddies. On January 17th, the Mad Caddies released a new song called Baby. Baby from the Mad Caddies is streaming everywhere now. And let's take a moment and listen to a clip. I said, baby, just call me baby. I don't say my name, that drives me crazy. Well, I said, baby, just call me baby. I don't say my name, Chuck, yeah, that's crazy. We're flying on plane, we're riding in a car. We grab my hand, ain't gone too far. So yeah, that song is not very ska, but they put out another song like towards the end of 2023. I think it was like Palm Trees and Pine Trees or something like that.
I can't remember.
And that one, that's very ska.
Close enough to the name. Yeah.
Yeah. That one is very ska. And I do believe they're coming out with a new album sometime this year. I could not find a date, but that's the Mad Caddies with Baby. RJ, what do you got for us?
Well, Eric Dinn of the ska band The Uptones, he's been doing some solo work for quite a while now. He just recently put out a new single. It's called Rabidus Maximus. It's a song. The idea came to Eric right around the beginning of the year, and he finished it in about 2 weeks. He's very proud of it, and he should be. It's a fun little song, mostly instrumental. Here's Eric Dinn with Rabidus Maximus. Rabidus Maximus.
Rabidus Maximus, and it, I don't know.
I'm surprised I didn't trip all over myself, to be honest.
And yeah, it's
all those speech therapy classes paid off.
Oh, God, then I will not make fun of you.
Thank you.
I didn't realize it was a thing.
Everyone who's listened to the show probably has heard it several times.
Well, yeah, I mean, I stumble over words all the time, and it's just because I'm me. So,
but you speak normal good rest of time. RJ does not.
That sure. Yeah, I do feel like there is something that when I get on a microphone that just words do not flow out of my mouth normally like they do when I'm just talking, sitting around the house or chit-chatting with friends or whatever. Like somehow putting on a show makes my mouth go blah. All right. Also, do want to mention did you mention that it's on his Bandcamp, Eric Din's Bandcamp, the song?
Oh, yeah. I just assume everyone's going to look it up and see it and find it, and it's going to be great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on.
Find Eric Din. He's on Bandcamp. He's on Spotify. He's great.
All right. Next up, we have on January 18th, Rude Machine dropped a new track called Walk the Path. Walk the Path from Rude Machine is streaming everywhere now, and so let's take a listen to a clip.
I don't want to fight. I want to wash away the dirt from under my eyes. I wouldn't be surprised if we ever made this right.
Awesome Ska News. Good job, everyone. Good job. Awesome Ska News. And we're so excited to share that with you.
Keeping track, I think it was episode 53.
Oh,
that Mike was on.
Oh, okay.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, that, wow.
Yeah.
What episode is this?
191.
191. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Too long. Uh-huh. Mike's coming back every week. That's what he's telling us. That's
Yes. I'm requiring it now.
All right. Before we jump out of Ska News, we want to remind you that we do have a Patreon. That's right. Patreon.com/ontheupbeatska. $4 a month gets you at least 2 bonus episodes, most of the time more, because that's what we do here. Under promise, over deliver. That's our motto. Of course, you get discounts on merch. Who doesn't like discounts on merch? And private access to a Facebook page where occasionally you get to talk to us more directly. Yay! Good times. So that is patreon.com/ontheupbeatska. Now,
woo,
let's get to talking with Mike from Kill Lincoln and Bad Time Records. You have so many titles. So since we last spoke, since you were last on the show, you announced, I can't remember exactly when this was it? You announced that you were going full time with Bad Time Records. I think you were kind of stepping away from it, whatever. It might've been late 2022.
Was it that long ago? Yeah. I don't know if that's lining up in my head like that, because then it's like I don't believe that I've been doing this full time for 3 years. Maybe that's true,
but maybe it was late. Maybe it was late 2022. Like, real,
yeah, that sounds more
real late. What made you pull the trigger on that, to go from day job to full time? You know, and doing Bad Time Records, and then, you know, full-time Bad Time Records. What made you pull the trigger?
Yeah, I had to. It was either stop doing Bad Time, or stop doing my job, or do Bad Time in a way that I didn't want to. You know, it was just too much work. I mean, Bad Time was growing. I wanted to put a certain level of energy into it or not do it at all.
Right.
And I certainly didn't make the move because of the money. that's for sure. But yeah, I mean, I had an opportunity, which I feel like doesn't come along very often to pursue, you know, a passion, to pursue a dream, quote unquote, you know. So I jumped at it. You know, was it the best? I don't regret it at all. I mean, absolutely not. Like I was drowning doing a job and trying to run bad time.
Yeah.
It was too much. So now I'm just trying to make bad time work. So
far, does it, obviously, yes, you don't do it for the money, but do you feel like, are you still kind of walking on eggshells when it comes to money? Do you feel like, oh no, what did I do?
Well, you know, like, thankfully I have a wife who is very good to my family. but it's like, I think anybody who starts a small business, like, you know how in the first couple of years, like, if you make any money, it's such a win, you know. And I think Bad Time started to become profitable somewhere around that third year. You know, and then so like profitable doesn't mean that I'm like paying myself a big ass paycheck every month.
Sure.
It just means it's like I'm not losing money actively.
Yeah.
So every year it gets a little bit better. You know, we're kind of building the catalog and the bands are working hard and I'm trying to get them out into different outlets and things are growing and things are getting better bit by bit. So, yeah, it's working so far. It's working until it doesn't. So, yeah.
And then mid 2003 here, you announced the spinoff label Uncle Style.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. So what was the impetus to do that? It's just like, I want to do more than just ska.
Yeah. I mean, I had so many like close friends, like just as I have friends in the ska scene that I've known for so many years of playing shows. Like I have just as many friends in the punk scene, the pop punk scene, the hardcore scene. And I just kept having these conversations with good friends where it was like, oh man, like, oh, you're working on a new record. Oh, I wish we could work together. Oh, I wish we could do this. Oh, I wish we could do that. And then it just got to the point where I was like, well why not? I don't want to, you know, I want to keep Bad Time a ska label and it always will be. And I think it's important to not deviate from that. So in my head, it just made sense. So why don't I start a, I don't know what to call it, if it's like an offshoot or I hate calling it an imprint because that sounds like pretentious a little bit, I
think,
guess.
Imprints usually are for artists on a label. I think sub-label is the
sub-label
proper term. Yeah.
Sure. So it's a sub-label. Yeah, that just seemed to make the most sense so people would know, okay, you know what you're roughly, what you're going to get when you come to Bad Time. And Uncle Style can really be anything else. It's leaning towards like punk, pop punk right now, but I really am trying to keep that open to really anything that kind of makes sense, you know. So yeah, that's Uncle Style.
So far you're doing great.
Did you turn to any of the bands and go, could you put a little ska in your songs?
Well, that was always like the joke. It was like, oh, if you guys just had like one ska song, then I could put out the record. And actually, so I don't think it's any surprise that I'm putting out. So the bands that are on the label, Braceface, Eat Defeat, Hell Beach, and Boardroom Heroes. So we're putting out an Eat Defeat record. I won't say when, but it's coming. And it turns out that they have two ska songs on their record, which they wrote before any of this happened. So I was like, well, why didn't we just put it on? I don't know. Anyway, it's going to make everybody happy.
Yeah,
I think everyone's going to be stoked.
Yeah, and especially, you know, if it's something that comes naturally for them and they just sort of did it as like not a plan, then you don't want to like pigeonhole them to like now we got to like occasionally throw in an upstroke to the song.
Oh, no, I'd love to hear that more often. Like you hear ska punk bands doing other styles so often, like ska punk bands will branch into hardcore or metal or math rock even, but like you'll hear like I will rarely hear bands outside the genre delve into ska. And I have some theories on that, but like I think they're cowards mostly. No, but like I don't hear that very often.
And this
so
is
I think
the
it's
podcast
so cool.
Where Bad Time Records ended.
Yeah, it's over. I'm calling you all out. Play more ska. But it's really cool when I hear it go the other way, you know. So and it's not like I dared them to make a ska song or something. They just did it. I mean, Summers is he's a lifetime like Less Than Jake fan. Like they're all ska fans. So
yeah,
It's cool. I can't wait for people to hear that one. It's very fun.
Awesome. So let's get to the thing I'm sure everyone wants to know about. What is your Taco Bell? No, just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, jeez.
So last year, about this time, you announced that you were going to do a documentary. This is New Tone. And what led to that? And, you know, what was the process? And, you know, was it as crazy as it – did it end up – you know, now that you're sort of at the tail end of it, you know, was there a lot that you learned, a lot you didn't see coming? You know, what was that whole experience?
Yes, on all fronts. Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of 2022, we knew – well, actually, I guess it was like summer of 2022, we were talking about this tour. Like, this was like a bucket list sort of tour concept that we – really wanted to do. I really wanted to do it. Brent, who is, you know, booking agent for Kill Lincoln and Watsu, and just a great friend of kind of everybody in this circle. And it was an idea that he was really pitching. And he's kind of the person who can really make it happen. So we were talking a lot about the tour. And once we finally got all the details settled, we got the bands all in agreement, we got the venues all booked, I was like, wow, this is going to be so awesome. Like, we should really make sure we're capturing this. We should make sure we're documenting it. It's like, oh, bing, light bulb. Like, why don't we like capture every show? Like, we were going to do something like that anyway. Like, we had thought about maybe just doing audio recording, or, you know, we were going to have Ray come out and take some video or some photos, but I figured, let's just go all the way. Let's use this, you know, this tour and this idea to capture what's sort of happening right now with our bands and the, you know, the bad time scene and all that stuff. And just kind of, it was also, you know, with shows coming back post COVID, like while we were planning this, I know I say that with quotes, post COVID, it was still like, we were still excited about shows returning.
Right.
So there was this like energy around being back to the live experience. So that was one of the big pushes for the film too, is like, I wanted to show people how much fun a ska punk show is, and how much fun these shows are, you know, with sort of like the quote unquote current younger generation, modern ska punk, like a modern show that is just like, just helmed by this generation of bands. Like, what is that like? I don't think a lot of people have seen it. So it's for younger people that are sort of just getting into going to shows and maybe might see it and get excited, but it's also for the people who have maybe sort of phased out a little bit of ska, or if it phased out of going to shows, to try to get them, you know, excited and back out to shows. So yeah, it was a crazy experience. I learned a ton. I mean, still editing it, making a movie takes a long time, but, I have to shout out Ray Mystic, who worked their butt off on filming this, and G. Leonardo, Alec Puglisi, Rick Johnson, John Graber, and Brandt. I mean, there's like, we had a big like crew kind of cobbled together that like really came together and worked so hard on this while we were on that tour. And it's hard enough just to do a tour and play shows. But when you add in trying to capture every set and, you know, video and audio, and also be filming backstage and media managing, making sure you're capturing everything and backing it up and loading in and setting up and lighting and bringing your cameras, turning the cameras on is a challenge, you know, even just the basic stuff. There's just so much to take into account. And we just like dove in head first and rolled with it and learned and got better and better and better at it. And I just shout out to the crew, because they really worked hard, and I'm so stoked on what they made.
So, you're still in the middle of editing it, right? You're still in the process of editing it. You know, because there are different ways to sort of do a documentary, you know, is there a story that you feel like is unfolding as it's coming together, and sort of what are maybe your metrics for like pulling out a narrative? You know, what are you using as a guideline?
Yeah. I mean, there was a moment where I thought, oh, well, maybe the story will tell itself, or the story will reveal itself. And it kind of did, like throughout the tour. But I guess it's not spoilery, but I think throughout we're sort of trying to answer this question of what is New Tone? Okay, because like I feel like that's a term that obviously Bad Operation coined it, and it got sort of like thrust into labeling this thing or whatever it is.
Right.
And I don't think we're trying to say New Tone is this, like is the best, like it's the only thing, or New Tone is whatever. I try to get like a very wide range of opinions on not only the term New Tone, but on what is actually happening
Yeah.
at these shows and what people are seeing. So that's one of the themes. It's trying to
Yeah.
say, well, what is this thing? What is this scene? Who is this scene? Really,
Right.
like who is New Tone? Is kind of a big theme of it. So, but
Awesome.
yeah, but it's also, concert film too. I really wanted to focus on you seeing like performances from across the tour. So it's concert film mixed in with documentary and trying to answer some of these questions.
Yeah. Not only did you put together a documentary, you put out a live record for it, which is streaming right now everywhere. This is New Tone. When is do you have I can't remember. Do you have a release date on when the vinyl should be shipping or
The vinyl is on a,
February-ish?
it's so I the vinyl is on a truck headed to my house right now. It could be anywhere in the contiguous United States. When it shows up is not entirely up to me. But it should be here soon. I said end of February, but I think it'll be a little bit sooner, but I hate telling people it'll be sooner because, like you said about over-promising, under-delivering, or the opposite of that. But soon, soon. Vinyl will be here soon.
Any hints at a release date for the documentary, even if it's just a month that you think?
I'm going to say spring. Spring is
Spring.
as
Oh,
specific as I
wow.
want to get. And if you
Wow.
and I want you to note that spring technically ends somewhere in June. I just want everyone to know. No, I wanted out as soon as possible, but also it's just the type of thing where I have somebody helping me. So Alec is helping with some of the editing. I try to devote 3 days a week to just working on the film. It's more like two and a half lately. But I'm also running the label, so it's like I am trying to do both, but I do have people helping. So it took us about, well, 6 weeks, maybe 2 months just to sync the shows together. It's 24 shows with four bands, sometimes five per show, and you're syncing clips that it's not as smooth, it's not just, oh, start the camera, stop it for each band. There's lots of jagged ends that have to be connected and processed, and it took a long time just to even get the shows synced up. So reviewing the film like took weeks just looking at what we had. But luckily I was there for mostly all of it. So while we were out shooting it, I had it in my head like, okay, this is what we're gonna do here, this is what we're gonna do there. And so it's on paper and in my head the film's done. It's just a matter of making
Making
it.
it
Yeah.
actually,
Yeah, it's
the
like being able
recipe
to
is
show it. Yeah.
for
The
the
recipe's set. We got all the ingredients. They're just
yeah,
baking that cake now.
exactly. It's in the oven. Yep.
so for
Exactly.
those who maybe did not either get a chance or for whatever reason to back This Is New Tone, the documentary, when you did the Kickstarter, will it be available to purchase and to
Oh
be
yeah.
seen by the general public?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Sure.
I'm not gonna hide it in a lockbox or anything like
I personally
that.
only asked because a few years ago, I went to like a live show. It was actually with MXPX. Went to a live show and I knew they were filming it for a thing, like to put out like a concert video. And I guess I missed the memo and it was only for the Kickstarter people. And
Oh,
I'm
that
like,
stinks.
oh, okay. Well, they eventually put it out
Yeah.
as a live record, eventually, like, I don't know, 5 years later.
Oh.
So
interesting.
If you listen to it, you can kind of hear me screaming. No, just kidding. You can't.
No, no. This will be. I mean, I want this to be seen. I want by as many people as possible. So it will. Yeah. It will come out, and I'll have some type of rollout, and I have some ideas, and we'll certainly do. We'll do a couple premieres.
Sweet.
So there will be some chances to catch it for sure.
So California has a lot of ska fans. So
I don't know. I mean, California doesn't really like ska, so we'll probably skip California for a premiere.
That's my pal Matt with his tackle box going fishing.
It sure is. I like the way you're putting that, RJ. All right. So before we go any further, we're gonna give you a taste of what the live record sounds like. If you haven't checked it out, we're gonna listen to a clip from Bad Operation themselves. We're gonna listen to the track "Stay Inside," and like Mike said, Bad Operation coined the phrase "new tone," and so yeah, let's listen to Bad Operation with "Stay Inside."
Thinking about what you can't control only wastes energy and creates its own enemy. Wanna stay alive? The kids are in the streets and the police are on patrol. Stay inside if you wanna stay alive. It's summer in the city and I can feel the violence. Stay inside if you wanna stay alive. That operation is running with the crowd. Stay inside if you wanna stay alive. That operation is burning like the virus. I'm the one that's in. Go! I'm riding.
Stole my question about your other label. He jumped the gun.
Oh, sorry. I mean, I'm a Uncle Style member, so I was enthused about that.
Nice.
And also, started up my fifth year of the Bad Time Club.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for being Wow, that's amazing. Mike, yeah. You've been in it every year. Wow.
Yeah, every year. And I was literally there day one when you stole your first Kill Lincoln record. I remember even emailing you about it, saying, like, if you ever need any help, because I had just done, I had was a couple years out from Grandpa's Casino, my failed record label.
Whoa.
And I think, and you're like, I'm cool. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for your support. Like, it was,
I was
very,
I was probably like, nice. I don't know what I'm doing. So, but thanks for the email.
And
it's like, I have too many questions for one person to answer. So.
And quite frankly, I got sick of having to go to the website all the time to make sure I got all the records. So when you start doing the club, I'm like, let's do it. And yeah, have never been disappointed. So I just keep re-upping every November.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Big Uncle Style is like, I'll give it the first year. I know what I can do. Let's try this out.
You'll be happy, I think.
Yeah. So far I have been, man.
Cool.
Hell yeah.
Good. 2024 was the 5th year anniversary of Bad Time, and
last fall.
Yeah. So what? 5 years out, you're kind of in the mix of doing this documentary. What have you taken away in those 5 years, and maybe like you didn't see at the beginning?
That's a tough question. So many things. I think this is probably the same for people in bands that are growing, or people starting any kind of new business. I mean, I literally every day I'm learning. It's not a joke. Like literally every day I'm learning something new. I mean, somebody sent me I'm trying to deal with an international band, not Call Me Malcolm, but another one. and they used a term that I had never seen before. And I was like, what is this? It was a technical music industry term, whatever. And it's just like every day there's something, or I'm, you know, like the logistics are the hardest part. You know, like how do you ship 1,000 records? I feel like a lot of people don't know what 1,000 records looks like. It's like, it maybe doesn't sound like a ton, but it's like a lot of stuff in your house, you know. It's like,
yeah,
that's 1,000 records. That's 1,000 boxes. That's, you know, 12 rolls of tape. That's this many, you know, trips to the post office. That's how many records can you fit in your car, and how many records can they fit when they come pick it up in the truck? Oh no, they brought the small truck, so they got to come back with the big truck. You know, it's just, there's just a lot of stuff that comes up. So it's really exciting every day. It's also like, it's very much like a job sometimes, but like if I want it to go well, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Of course, I think, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, constantly exciting anyway.
Yeah. You recently, you had some shows on the East Coast with Kill Lincoln and a bunch of other bands, and to celebrate your birthday and Drew's birthday. How did those go?
Yeah.
How was that?
Oh, it was awesome. Me and Drew are blessed to have the same birthday. We're birthday twins. So we've actually been celebrating with birthday shows since 2003? No. No, a long time. So my old bands, my high school band's final show was a birthday show of ours. Oh, no, that wasn't 2003. That was like 2015, 2014, 2013, somewhere in there. I don't really remember. No, God, it was way earlier than that. I'm being terrible with dates right now, but we've been celebrating birthday shows for a long time. And we did one 6 years ago in Baltimore. That was awesome. And we just had this one with Big D and the Best of the Worst in Hell Beach. And me and Drew met at a Big D show at the Bloomfield Avenue Cafe in New Jersey years ago. So it was special to have Big D play the show. And it's just great.
That's cool. If there was a band you could tour with, with Kill Lincoln right now, who would you like to tour with?
Who would I like to tour with? Cat Bite, obviously. No.
I don't know. Man, I think that may. I don't know if you can work that out.
Let me just roll through the roster here.
They may be difficult.
You know, I, I've been so lucky the past couple of years. I've knocked a couple of things off the bucket list. You know, I would have said Suicide Machines. We got to do some stuff with them. I mean, Tokyo Ska fucking Paradise. Like, that was a literal dream come true.
Oh yeah.
Big D. You know, it's I feel really lucky that I've been able to do some of these. And but also, you know, playing with your friends, like touring with like Catbite. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than that. You know, yeah. Touring with good friends, so you can't beat it.
Might there be some Kill Lincoln new music? I don't know, this year maybe?
On the horizon?
Yeah, it's on the horizon. That's a good way to put it. It's on the horizon. it better be. Last record was in 2020, so. Yeah.
That's why I
asked.
Like
the clock is ticking a little bit. Yeah.
Have you been able to press all of your Kill Lincoln records onto vinyl? Is there anything that you that hasn't made it to vinyl yet?
Right now, everything is on vinyl. I mean, there's some
a couple straight tracks, maybe.
There's a couple straight tracks. Like we did a cassette once with some extra stuff. I don't know if it has any like separate tracks, but.
I still need to check it out. Yeah.
It has some like weird clips and versions of stuff. I think but pretty much everything's on vinyl. Yeah. All the major stuff.
So this actually is a question that I didn't think about until actually our last week's episode with Matt from the Supertones. And it was actually a question that kind of got asked in a very early episode of On the Upbeat before RJ was host, actually.
Oh, the first 20 before I came in and ruined the show.
Weird.
But the question is, why do you think so many bands like to play clips from like movies or TV shows like within front of their songs? Now, we were commenting originally that it was mostly seemed to be in the 90s, but a few have popped up different places, and it kind of reminds me that Kill Lincoln had a couple, at least one I can think of. But why do you think that is? It seems to be a ska thing. I don't hear it much.
Oh, no, it's definitely not a ska thing, Matt.
Really?
I wouldn't say it's a ska thing, but I honestly, man, I have no idea because it's sick, because it's awesome. I feel like, especially like when you're a younger band, most of your time, if you're not playing music or whatever, is like just goofing around and joking around. And, you know, Kill Lincoln, we would just like watch dumb movies together. Or like we would just be joking and riffing and saying lines from our favorite movies and shit. So, you know, you watch The Room once with your friends and you're quoting it all the time. Right. So of course we're going to put a line from The Room in the first Kill Lincoln song. So like, I don't know. I think it's just like something between you and your bandmates. Really? Usually it's sort of like a way to put like a little inside joke in there. And you're just trying to make each other laugh most of the time. At least that's why we did it. I think we were really just trying to make each other laugh. Like the moment where you put the clip in and, you know, and Marty's like, oh, listen to this. And you listen for the first time and it's so fucking funny. And it just creates like a really cool moment for you and the band. And whether or not people, you know, that's also in the time where we didn't think anybody would be listening to any of this stuff. So it's like, you can't really imagine people listening to it. You're making it for the, you know, the group
for you.
That's there.
Yeah. So, for those that get it. Yeah.
That might be it. I don't know.
I want to ask you that clip, and I can't remember what song it's in front of that's like, every day of my life is the worst day of my life. Where is that from?
It's from Office Space.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that movie in a minute. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Great movie.
So, you know, I know you're sort of in the mix of you know, doing this documentary and all this stuff, and you've got, you know, anything else coming in 2024 you want to tease?
Any sneak peeks for 2024 Bad Time Records?
Oh, man, you know, I hate sneak peeks. There's just some really, really great records. I know I could say this anytime, but there's some really great stuff. I'm constantly amazed that such high quality stuff keeps coming my way. You know, like, cause at some point you like start to get worried, like, oh, it's like, is the good ska gonna run out? Like, I don't know. It's like something I worry about, right? I mean, I'm doing a ska punk label, so I'm like, well, what if I don't like anything that year? You know, it's like, doesn't mean that nothing good is coming out, but it's like, what if I don't like it? And I mean, in the middle of year five right now, and that hasn't happened, and I feel really fortunate. I mean, everything, there's so much great stuff, and it's you know, more good stuff comes my way that I know than I'm able to do anything with. You know, I hate turning stuff away, but it has to happen. And there's just great stuff coming out this year. If you're in the club, RJ, you're gonna be happy.
I was so impressed the last 4 years. I can't imagine suddenly being like, this is bullshit. What are they thinking? That's
like,
not
now it's a Zydeco label. What is this?
I get it. It's all world music, but damn, Mike.
Oh, no. That would be the only betrayal, right?
Well, let's talk about something that Bad Time Records hasn't announced. You know, you're putting out the new record from Call Me Malcolm. How did you kind of meet up with them, and how did that come together?
Lovely lads from across the pond. I mean, I knew of Call Me Malcolm. I'm pretty sure so their 2020 record that came out on Wiretap, we had talked about doing something with it in 2020, and I just wasn't set up to really be able to help them.
Because of the international side of things?
It's just a lot of things. Yeah. I just wasn't, you know, I was doing way fewer releases. Mm-hmm. I was kind of figuring things out. It's tough with an international band, and it still very much is. So, you know, I'm stoked that they did find a really good home for it in Wiretap, and that record's so good. So I knew that record was great, and I knew that band was great. And then last spring, Kill Lincoln and Catbite went over to the UK with Big D and the Kids Table, and we did 5 or 6 dates, and most of them were with Call Me Malcolm. And you know, just meeting someone in person after talking on the internet is a totally game change, you know, like to get to travel with somebody and see them play and talk to them and hang out with them. And that's where a real kind of like, it's where you can really kind of see if you get along, you know, if we're going to be actual friends or friendly, you know.
Right.
So it turned out that they were great, and a great band and nice people. And you know, when they sent me the new stuff, it was a no-brainer, because I feel like this new record is, I mean, it's literally an extension of the last record. They built the last 3 records to kind of build thematically on each other and tell a story, but really it's like they've just taken the best parts of the last record and kind of distilled them and made them, you know, catchier, hit harder, all that stuff. It's a really fantastic record. So that was like an easy decision to want to work with them. Great band.
Yeah, awesome. I'm definitely excited. They're definitely.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Hopefully, I think we're trying to plan to talk to him soon. And last time they were on the show, Matt went solo. I'm hoping that I'll be able to jump in the mix this time, because I've also been a fan of them for quite a while.
Yeah, nice. That's that 8-hour time difference is a
They were waiting to announce. I was like, we're announcing your record at 10 a.m. East Coast time. And they were like, that's 3 p.m. on Friday. We have to wait all that time. Yes, I'm sure it was brutal, but they were good sports about it.
Yeah, but a question, and then we'll sort of go into Scott Picks. What is, you know, and maybe you don't have a definitive answer to this, but what is a general time? I just kind of wonder this. From the time you maybe get music sent to you or connect with a band and you kind of decide in general that you want to put out something from them, what is the timeline from like getting that stuff to like actual, you know, kind of records actually being mailed out in hands for people?
That's a good question. It varies depending on where I'm at with my scheduling. I think, like, you know, at the right time, there are people who've hit me up and we've had records out like 4 months later, you know, but with Call Me Malcolm, I think we started talking. I mean, the tour was in April, and they said, hey, we're working on a record. Can we send it to you? And I said, of course. I'm pretty sure they sent it to me in the summer. Mm-hmm. So they sent it over the summer, and we kind of made the plan from there. Maybe it was even like late spring. Sorry, I said June is late spring.
Yeah.
So it could have been, June. I could look back, but yeah. I'm pretty sure it was like early summer, late spring when they actually sent me the record. And yeah, we kind of went from there. But then there's a lot, you know, from having, even if there's somewhat finished mixes, to then finalizing the mixes, yeah, getting it mastered, doing your artwork, it snowballs with all the stuff to do. So
yeah.
It could sometimes bands wait like a year, and I hate that. And I say, hey, like, let's do it. But if you don't want to wait a year, I don't blame you. Like, yeah, just put it out. So
let's get rolling.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because yeah, if something's itching and you just want to out so people can hear it, I get it.
Yeah, but it's tough.
Yeah. All right. So before we head out, we're gonna do, of course, ska picks of the week. And Mike, why don't you tell us about your ska pick?
Yeah. So my ska pick is clearly, I had to go with Call Me Malcolm. One Cure, To the Head, Two to the Chest. This is the lead single from the record. We picked this one as the lead single because it sort of has a little bit of everything from the record. It's got the chorus on this sounds to me like it could be in like any major like pop song chorus. Like the melody is so catchy. Yeah. But then, you know, it starts with this like vicious tritone hit. It's like medley. It's got this little bit of a ska core in it. I think it's a great overall track to kind of give you a flavor for a little bit of the record. Yeah, it's a great one.
I'm a big fan of Call Me Malcolm. You know, when we had them on, it was a great conversation. So I'm definitely looking forward to that full album and, of course, chatting with them. My ska pick of the week comes from, you know, I think for a lot of people, you know, they enter into hearing about it or hearing a band's sort of catalog at different points. And I was definitely late to the game with Dance Hall Crashers. I did not buy a Dance Hall Crashers record until 1999, which was their last like official. I think they did a lot.
Was it Purr?
It was Purr.
they did a live record after that.
Just after
Purr
that.
Purr was the last official. Yeah.
And so this track is the last track on the album, and it's always been my favorite. I don't want to say it's necessarily a downer per se, but it's definitely like an emotional song. And so this is Cricket by the Dance Hall Crashers from their 1999 album, Purr.
Troubles you most. Don't let it be.
about someone that you love passing away and you kind of just trying to comfort them. I think that's what that song's about. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's definitely, you know, it's an acoustic song and I love it. And I love Dancehall Crashers and got into all their stuff after they broke up. Good job, Matt.
Hey, it's not like me getting into Bond the music industry right when they announced their final show. That's the first time I finally started listening to that, like a big dummy. So, you know, you're fine, Matt. You're fine.
It's fine. All right, RJ, tell us about your ska pick.
My ska pick, man, and if you've heard me talk about this band and play this song before, hopefully it's been years. But the band is the Amphetamines, a band, a ska band out of Scotland, who is unfortunately no longer together, but I was re-listening to their album. Now, that's what I call the Amphetamines, one of my absolute favorite ska albums, and I just was still, once again, struck by the song Say Something Special, so I wanted to bring that today to my ska pick of the week. Enjoy the Amphetamines.
But you were born in 65. When the specials had their moment, you and your thing passing fine. We have more than starting speak to do. We have a way of life. We are more than morons fighting. We are skins until we die. So, see something special to me. Boy, see something special to me. Yeah, see something special to me. Boy, see something special to me. Yeah.
Yay, great ska picks, everyone. We did it.
Hell yeah. We know what we're doing.
Sometimes. Well, Mike, thanks for sticking around or hanging out with us tonight. We definitely appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Hopefully it won't be 3 years before we have you on again.
Yeah, I'll set my watch. I'll put a calendar reminder and I'll talk to you guys in 2027.
Yes. Sounds good.
Hey, if I'm still running bad time in 2027, that's a big win. And if you're still doing on the upbeat, so that'll be a win for all of us. So let's see.
Yeah,
we said we had to get to 2026 to get to that April Fool's episode. So, you know, what's stretching it like?
We'll recap the April Fool's episode.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, when we did talk about that, I was looking at the calendar. I was like, am I still going to want to do this in 2 years? You know, day to day, something that can't feel, sometimes doesn't feel daunting. But if you look at like a big thing, like,
mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, we've already been doing this for so long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like when I look back, I did 23 minutes of ska for 13 years. 13 years? That's friggin' insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That it deserved to be put down. It was way too long in the tooth.
All right. So, but if you want to hear more from Mike, he is going to stick around for our bonus chat. So, you can subscribe to patreon.com/ontheupbeatska.
Yeah. Mike and Matt chopping it up. The M&M after show.
And we're going to talk about the really juicy, controversial stuff, right?
Yes. Taco Bell.
Talk about or the other hat styles. Yeah.
Yes, the other hats of ska. That's what
there are two
do.
More hats, and we didn't want to talk about them, but we're gonna talk about them.
Yeah, because you have to. You have to be fair.
Is banana suit a hat? That's what we're gonna answer.
All right.
The best.
Well, listeners, thank you for listening. We appreciate you every week that you check us out, and until next time.
Hey, keep listening to ska.
You've been listening to On the Upbeat. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you get all the new episodes as soon as they're available. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at On the Upbeat Ska. Follow our Spotify playlist, Ska Favorites. It features all the songs heard on the show. Please consider joining our Patreon. Visit patreon.com/ontheupbeatska to sign up today. And thank you for supporting On the Upbeat.